Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Black Sports on Triple A Murray Country. I'm your host, Dr. Lee Shepherd. I'm of Dirribal, Mulurudji, Jebagai, Irukandji descent from far north Queensland, and an anthropologist with expertise in sport for development in Aboriginal Australia. First, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which the show is being recorded today, the Yuggera and Yugurabal peoples, and also the traditional custodians upon whose land the show is broadcast, the Turrbal and Yuggera peoples, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Today we are yarning with the lovely Larissa Chambers, who is a development officer for Little Athletics Queensland. Good morning, Larissa, and thank you so much to invite me into your home to have a yarn with you today about the new NAIDOC Week School Holiday Program through LAQ. First off, though, let's get a little bit of background. Who's your mob and where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so thank you for having me on the show. I'm really excited. So my mob is Waka Waka, Turrbal and Jarawa. And I'm very proud to obviously represent them. So, yeah, no, very excited to be here.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up? Was it in Ipswich?
Yeah, so I was born in Nambour, but I grew up in Ipswich, so basically from a very young age. Yeah. Dad, he did a lot of markets before I was born and stuff, mm-hmm. and obviously he had a markets weekend up there, and I happened to be born up that way when mum and dad were there. So, grew up right here in the Ipswich area, and have been sort of going through the paces here.
Yeah, okay. And for those of you who may not know you yet, can I ask a bit about your background? What is your background in at the moment? When you started off as a child?
Basically, I was always a very sporty kid. As we all are back in the day. We always love to jump and run and throw things that we shouldn't be throwing. And
jumping off roofs.
I knew that I needed to put that energy elsewhere. So mum, she obviously always wanted us to get into some sort of sport, being very sporty herself, and dad being big in football also. And I always followed my siblings in anything and everything they did. So, you know, all the older siblings, when they were getting into sport, I had to be a part of it. My sisters, they got into track and field and started out with Little Athletics themselves, signing up to Goodna Little Athletics right here. And whatever my older sisters did, I needed to get onto. So mum, she wanted me to sign up pretty much next season. And back then also, my strength in my legs wasn't great, but I always gave everything a go. So, you know, there was something about my legs that weren't quite right. I needed to strengthen them up quite a bit. And doctors, they even told my mum that I could potentially need, you know, braces on my legs just to strengthen them. Mum didn't like the idea of spending that much money to do that. So naturally she wanted to do something that really helped me, but also gave me that social exception as well. So Little Athletics was definitely the go for me. So when I signed up, instantly loved it. It was so great to sort of be out on a Friday night, getting involved with something that was really fun and exciting, and you know, got me out there to talk to other people too, because my social anxiety was through the roof when I was a kid. I was a very shy kid, as we usually are. A few years after that, you know, I started to really get more invested in it. Wasn't a sprinter to begin with. I actually started in jumps, in high jump and long jump and triple jump and all that. And then one day, my first coach, Janet, she got me onto the runway of a long jump pit and saw that, you know, the speed started to come into play. So she got me out to do some club training up at Ipswich and District Athletics Club.
Yeah.
And before anything, before I started getting to my training for the jumps, wanted me to go over to the sprints coach and get a bit of a warm-up in. Pretty much, long story short, didn't necessarily want to go over to my high jumps coach anymore and wanted to sort of stick with the sprints and saw that it started to really pursue a bit more into that. So at about 12, 13 years old, that's when the speed sort of started to hit in a bit more.
Yeah.
I started making way through, you know, my school carnivals, through districts, regionals, and then at 13, I started hitting state championships and nationals at 13, which was my first one. And didn't do great at my first nationals, but it gave me a lot of drive to really start putting, you know, my foot down and really starting to getting into the work because I wanted to be better the next year. And I was very excited. I only made semifinals when going to my first nationals, and so I wanted to better that. The following year, I made finals.
Oh, cool.
I was excited, got last in the race, but, you know, that's how it goes. Which just fueled my drive even more to get back the next year and go a bit better. And I was really excited because after a couple of years, that ranking started to go down a bit more in the age group. You know, I'd be last and I'd be maybe seventh, maybe fifth. And then by the time I got to maybe my later years, maybe 15, 16 at school, then I started making some more individual notices and got my first individual medal at maybe 16 years old in the 100 metres, or in the 200, sorry. Which just really pursued a lot more of, you know, my determination to really hit something special in the sport of track and field. So I knew that more international competitions started to come around for me getting a little bit older. So at 16, I made some of my first international competitions, which were Arafura Games up in Darwin. Absolutely loved that. That was a fantastic experience back in 2011. And it was a special opportunity for me to not only represent Australia for the first time, but to represent Indigenous Australia. So it was the first time I was able to put on a uniform that had the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander flags. It was so special to me. So it was really cool. I was also a part of Athletics Australia's Indigenous program at the time, so that really helped me as well. A couple of years later, I ended up making Oceania Championships that was held up in Cairns. That was really exciting. Only a 17-year-old running against open athletes. Didn't know what I was in for, but ended up getting first in the 200 and second in the 100. I was really
excited.
That's
really good.
And I knew I could get even further with this. So leading into 18, it was my first World Junior Championships, and that was very exciting. That was when I was 18 years old. It was 2014. I hadn't made qualifyings as of yet, and I knew that nationals that year I needed to put in the work. So it was really exciting for me, but unfortunately Dad had suffered a stroke at the time. So a lot of things were happening in the background when Dad was out of commission, you know, family finances sort of started to play a part, and I knew I needed to do something. My sisters fortunately got a job at the time, and I knew that, you know, athletics needed to be put on hold for a bit. But before anything, I knew I needed to make that international team. I ended up doing qualifiers at national championships, got second. I was really excited about it, and made my way over to Eugene, Oregon for my first international comp. Unfortunately, during the championships, I was carrying an injury with my hamstring, so I didn't do the best result, but it was such an incredible experience. The second I got home, though, I knew I needed to put in the work to really support the family. And so made my way through. Deadly Choices were really excited to offer me an ambassadorship, which I was really pleased about. That was when Ian Lacey was a part of it, which I absolutely loved. It was incredible. At 18, 19 years old, though, you don't necessarily understand why people want you as an ambassador. Yeah. You know, you're quite young. You don't necessarily know that people are looking up to you at that time.
Yeah.
And you're in that role model kind of thing. So I kind of saw it as, why are people looking at me? I'm just a young girl that just likes to run. But now that I'm older, I understand that.
Yeah.
So it was really something special.
Yeah.
But I knew I needed something else.
Yeah.
So by 2015, I was then offered a traineeship position with the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Yeah.
And I made my way through, but also my athletic career kind of suffered a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be, you know, a full-time athlete with a full-time job.
Yeah.
You're balancing, you know, 8 hours of work with hours where you can sort of chop and change outside of that.
So yeah.
Put in the work, put in the sleep, put in, you know, your recovery work as well. So it was hard to balance at that time. And I didn't necessarily have anyone to guide me through that. It was kind of my own thing.
Yeah.
And so athletics was definitely suffered in that kind of thing. And I put that onto the bench for a little while and really just tried to support the family.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was really fortunate that as I was making my way through the institute, I managed to maneuver my way into different positions. I started out as a trainee working at the Goodna Medical Center, which is now the Tamil and Mam Health Center, which I'm really thrilled about. Made my way through as an allied health assistant with the Work It Out program, and then finally was then offered a position with Deadly Choices as a program officer, which I was so thrilled about.
Yeah.
It was very exciting. And after being 2 years in that position, I was then offered a team leader role.
Yeah.
During that time, during my Deadly Choices time, I then sort of found the love for athletics again, which was very exciting because I started getting out to more schools and seeing these young kids, you know, be so excited about their own sports, whether it be in rugby league, AFL, soccer, netball, whatever. Yeah. To be around kids that really enjoyed this, it kind of just brought my passion for athletics back, which was really exciting. Not to say that it ever sort of left, but it was just like, these kids love this so much. Mm. I want to be that person that sort of they can look up to as well, to be like, hey, you can sort of be in this role, but also pursue a dream in your sports.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I found that passion and I really sort of drove through it again and started competing a bit more again, which I was really excited about. Not making like national teams or anything, but it was more so the love of it that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then once I finally finished up 10 years of service with the Institute, I was also offered a position with Little Athletics Queensland. And it kind of was just that whole thing of two worlds colliding.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I was very excited about.
Yeah.
You know, my Indigenous background, my heritage.
Mm.
Fused with the love I have for track and field.
Yeah.
So to be able to put in the work that I learned through the Institute and through Deadly Choices, now to incorporate this with Little Athletics Queensland and bring together something really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited about. I was very thrilled.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good life story.
Yeah.
Of, starting out from a child and going through athletics back then. When you were at Deadly Choices and at the schools, you were there mentoring as a mentor? Or?
Yeah, so I was leading the Deadly Choices program that runs through schools, 7 to 8 weeks program, and we were giving out education, you know, how to live a healthy lifestyle through nutrition, physical exercise, all of that.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of that education throughout an hour of content.
Yeah.
And even got out and did some traditional Indigenous games, which was fantastic.
Nice.
And just to sort of see the smile on their faces when they do those kind of things, it was really thrilling and sort of got my motivation to get back into sports and stuff as well. So
was that just in the local area here or all over Brisbane?
I was a part of the West Moreton region, which looks after pretty much Inala all the way out to as far as Laidley. So I incorporated all of that into this region. So, yeah, I was really excited to be a part of that.
Have you, from any of those students that you, in the past that you went to mentor, have you kept in, you know, seen any progression or?
I've seen definitely a lot of kids that have pursued that particular sport that they were interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So whether or not they were interested in netball and they wanted to go into more state teams and stuff or They were interested in rugby league and, you know, wanted to pursue a bit more into, you know, getting into those particular development squads and teams. I've seen a lot of kids sort of take away a lot of that stuff and go through into their preferred sports, which is fantastic to see. Obviously, you want the best for those kids. And to get more assistance as well, which unfortunately track and field don't have. As I was going through my career, I didn't have that support. I had Athletics Australia that had their Indigenous program, but not really much of a follow-up from that.
Yeah, can you sort of explain for the audience what the Little Athletics program is?
Yeah, so this is the first thing that they've had. The Ultimate Athletics program is something that we run through schools now. It's a program that's been running for about 14 to 16 months, and we go through schools, you know, before and after school program, and it's a skills and development program that helps the fundamentals of running, jumping, and throwing. And it's a lot of fun. Obviously, kids are getting the excitement from that particular sport. Because we all know track and field. We all do it at school. We all did it as a kid one time or another, but you know, it really starts to set in motion, you know, this is something that you could be good at as well. And I wanted to sort of, I guess, lean on that a little bit more in the sense that many of our Indigenous kids, we grew up with that. It is so infused in us from way back when, in the meantime, basically. You know, we were always running for food. We were hunting and throwing spears and stuff like that. So it was something that I really wanted to put together with my NAIDOC school holiday event. And I'm really excited because it's the first one for Little Athletics Queensland.
I was very excited when I saw it.
It was only 2 months of working with Little Athletics that I finally got it up and running. So not much of a time frame to get it all sorted, but I was really excited nonetheless. So, yeah, I'm really keen to see how it goes. And hopefully it's an event that we can sort of grow on over the years. So,
Because basically that's the first because you've only just started at LAQ, haven't you? So this is the first program you've got up and running. And I'm assuming you're going to – it's hopefully it'll snowball as the years go past. And it is NAIDOC week. And everybody's always, you know, I know when I had my granddaughter looking around for programs because she's five, to take her to it, you know, that would be great, something like that, athletics, to get them back into, you know, and socialising with mob as well, you know, because depending on which school they're going to, they're not going to be with a lot of mob, are they? Sometimes, depending. But, yeah, no, so basically with this, the NAIDOC week coming up, when is that and where?
So it'll be on the 10th of July, because that'll be the Thursday. So if they can't make it, that's okay, but we do want to just like put it out there. So it'll be from 9 to about 12 o'clock, and it'll be over at the Queensland Sports and Athletic Centre, so QSAC, the QSAC Stadium. So I'm really excited. That's where our office is as well. So it's sort of that sort of meeting point. And because everyone all knows QSAC, everyone all has been there. If you, the kid hasn't, then the parent definitely has. It's been around for quite a while. It's just something that really would I would love to get together because it's just a safe space, I guess.
You know,
young kids are so shame and so shy to really show their talent sometimes, and then you get those big
guys
that really want to showcase what they have. So I want to sort of lean towards them, you know, doing this event and possibly even signing up to their local little athletics center as well. So I absolutely loved it as a kid. It was something that was really exciting for me, and I'm very grateful for everything that Little Athletics did for me. It built my confidence as well. I don't think I'd be sitting here today if I didn't have something like that. So, you know, talking to you and having a yarn, it really built that in me. So, I'm just really excited. It's something that'll be really cool for the kids to sort of get out and be around coaches that's been a part of it. get that, I guess, one-on-one coaching for them as well in running, in jumping, in throwing. And once that's all done, a little bit of a workshop as well. So we have a whole heap of different things that are lined up for the day. With traditional Indigenous games, everyone loves a game sort of thing. A bit of artistic sort of workshop as well, where the kids get to, you know, paint up their own bib numbers. Which is really exciting to me. And they get to use those bibs to be able to do the relay at the end of the day.
Nice.
That they would be able to run with their bibs that they just created. And then also I'm really excited about our workshop that I get to basically host. And it's a bit of history for our young ones in regards to some of our Indigenous track and field athletes that not too many people do know about. So many of us know our big one, which is Kathy Freeman, our beautiful Kathy Freeman, 2000 Olympic 400 meter medalist, who was one of our first Indigenous people to actually win an Olympic gold medal in track and field. But not too many know anyone else around that. So to give a bit more history in that would be fantastic for me, you know, from some of our first international medals, Peter Hobson, a high jumper of all things, back in, I think, 1940s, in the 1940s, winning a gold medal in the high jump at the Commonwealth Games, to some of our not-so-common athletes like Carl van der Kuyt, Patrick Johnson being one of them. We all know him to be, you know, our Australian 100-meter record holder, but not too much of his career that he's made throughout track and field as well, you know. So, and then some of our up-and-coming athletes, you know, like Caleb Law and all of those ones coming through the gates. So, you know, putting a bit of history and a bit of a spotlight on all of those athletes that came before us and are now paving the way for the generation that are coming as well, which is so in line with our NATO theme this year, the next generation.
It is, yes, it is.
So it's very exciting to me to be able to host this event.
It sounds really good because most of it's track and field, so I'm assuming it's running and the jumping. So it's a long jump, it's a high jump. Yeah, these are all things I did when I was a kid, so I can relate to that type of thing. I was never good at the long distance, though. Short distance sprints.
For me, it was throws. These arms aren't built for throwing. There's a reason why I'm a sprinter. These legs are quick. So.
When I ran, I used to run like the devil was on my heels. That's what I'd think in my head. And I'd take off.
As soon as those street lights would turn on, you needed to sprint home. So.
Exactly. That's another thing too. Be home by the time the lights come on. That's it, eh? So when with your role with the LAQ, was that straight up? That was straight after Deadly Choices, wasn't it? So did they approach you?
Yes, so I actually applied for a casual position to work with their Ultimate Athletics program, which was obviously something that was before and after school. And my boss now, Keith, he saw my passion for athletics. And I kind of didn't stop bugging him. So I applied for that role back in November last year in 2024. And he just saw the passion that I had for it. And so I kind of just kept on hitting him up, hey, if there's ever a full-time position, I'm more than happy to sort of apply for it and go through the roles. And luckily enough, a full-time role had actually opened by February, March of this year. And so I just jumped at it straight away. And I was still working with the Institute at the time. But I just wanted my foot in the door with athletics. It had been a part of my life for so long that I was finally ready to sort of put all my work together for something that I really love. Everyone all says, like, if you do what you love, it'll never feel like work. So, yes, I loved working with the Institute and working with Deadly Choices, but my love and my passion is athletics. So to find something that was so perfect was really exciting, and I just jumped at it. I had to.
Dream job.
Yeah, basically.
No, because I mean, everything in your background has led you up to the LAQ, I think. And it's really good having this, you know, working, you know, you're starting to look into doing community stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff with the community. with the program that's coming up in for NAIDOC Week, what are the ages of the children for that day?
Yeah, so we've only limited it to 8 to 11 years, which is obviously unfortunate, but because it is the first one, we kind of don't want to, like, impact it so much with, like, 150, 200 kids coming on the first event. We kind of wanted to just start out small, which then we could build on. So we're trying to get a minimum of at least 50 kids to begin with.
Yeah.
If we get a little bit more than that, that's fantastic.
Mm.
But we just want to sort of throw it out there to begin with, just to see if the interest is there, which I'd hopefully there is.
Yeah.
Many kids obviously love to do track and field. Every time it comes through sports, through school and everything, I always hear kids going on silly. You know, I'm the fastest in the class.
Yeah.
I can jump the furthest.
Yeah.
Even when I was at a school this week and doing long jump, you know, all these kids were being so competitive, wanting to beat the next person.
Yeah.
So, you know, kids naturally just have that competitiveness in them.
Yeah.
So I would love to have them out there and sort of competing and doing all that stuff. But, you know, we really need to find that foundation first. Starting with just the 8 to 11, you know, you're building up that strength. Hopefully that interest and fascination sort of leads them in a bit more into that high school.
That's right. And then I'm assuming it'll snowball and you'll start going into the high schools, the older years and stuff like
100%.
That. 100%. Yeah. With the... So, basically with your career at the... I think you were mentioning something before about schools, when you're going into schools and some actually don't have... PE teachers.
Yes.
Which is interesting. How do schools, or do you go into a school and find out, you know, whether or not they're interested in having little athletics come into the school, or does school invite you?
Yes. So my position as a development officer, my main role is to assist little athletics centres around Southeast Queensland and also north as well, and even regional, with our Tiny Tots program, which is our young kids program from 3 to 5 with little athletics.
Okay, yeah.
So that is my main role with one of them, but also to develop school holiday programs.
Yeah.
So I have a little bit of a portfolio when it comes to my role, working with the Tiny Tots program, assisting and creating school holiday programs in any kind of capacity. But also community engagement as well is a big role. So, you know, if there's schools or, you know, organisations and businesses that would love to be able to incorporate some sort of athletics into their schools or whatever, I'm pretty much your girl to go to.
Nice.
I'm more than happy to sort of assist. And, you know, having a level one in athletics coaching myself, definitely having that qualification helps and that passion and that love for it also. But, just getting out and teaching these kids on how to do track and field is something that I'm really passionate and really love to do. The excitement that I see on kids' faces when they do get something right is so exciting. They understand how to do, you know, a block start, or they understand how to jump right off, like, the right foot in high jump, or understanding the right technique to shot put. Seeing that face sort of light up is always really, really thrilling to me, and the realization of, oh, that was a really good throw. I could probably do better. I could be coached up for this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my portfolio is quite good.
That's pretty intense. Basically, I was just wondering, is it just you, or do you have a team that goes out with you?
Yeah, so I have a bit of a team. So I have my my state development manager who sort of oversees all of us. I have Sophie, who... coordinates a lot more of the school program, so our ultimate athletics program that we go into schools for, and I'm pretty much the community engagement officer, basically. So if you need anything or ever want to get athletics into your school, then I'm basically your girl as well. And then we have Sean, who assists with a lot of our coaching and development. So understanding a bit more of his role is to basically coach people into opening up centres as well in their areas. So he's been travelling all around Queensland at the moment and assisting our winter centres and giving a bit of coaching as well to all of their centres as well. So it's been really exciting for him, but very busy.
And I'm assuming that they all have a background in track and field 100%. As well.
Yeah. So Sean used to be a bit of an athlete back in his day, and Sophie, I knew her actually growing up, so going through the ropes. She's a bit of a high jumps coach herself, but she used to be a long distance runner.
Yeah.
And then my manager, Keith, he actually has a background in AFL, which is really exciting.
Oh, okay.
So, I have a great little close-knit team that I work with.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone's got their own, you know, what they're good at.
Yeah.
Going out into the thing. So is it just, like, I think I did ask you, is it you're just here in this area in Ipswich?
No, so I look after pretty much everywhere.
Sorry, you told me Westmoreland. Yeah. Yes.
So I work with Deadly Choices in the Westmoreland area. But with my LAQ position now, I'm pretty much dispersed everywhere.
Yeah. It must be busy.
Pretty busy, yeah. Like, it doesn't really slow down for us.
I know. I mean, basically, when do you get time to breathe?
Pretty much now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've got a pretty busy weekend leading to our annual conference.
Which
is going to be a very exciting thing for us. It's my first conference as well. So it's pretty much where all of our, you know, executive officers and our managers from all across our little athletic centres all coming together, and we have a bit of a weekend of workshops on assistance and if they're needing any more resources.
Nice.
You know, we have a bit of a dinner as well where we get to do a bit of a award ceremony. Yep. You know, volunteers, coaches, officials for the year and stuff like that. So it'll be really exciting. Like I said, my first one, so it's going to be very interesting. I'm the newbie, so everyone will all want to know who I am and what I'm up to.
Tell them to listen to this. No. Tells you everything about her.
Pretty much.
I've done conferences in the past. It's fairly hair raising, type of thing. But you get used to it after a while. But that sounds like it's going to be fun on the Gold Coast, at least.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool. Yeah. I'm not big of a drinking person.
Yeah.
I stay away from the alcohol or anything like that. But I know a lot of people will definitely enjoy themselves.
Yeah,
especially with many of the people that are coming. A lot of the summer centres have finished, so it's pretty much like a bit of a night to sort of let loose and get to really catch up with people that they hadn't seen in a couple of months since finishing up the summer season. A lot of our winter centres are still running, but it's still a great way to sort of, you know, network and connect with people. Because I am so new, I would love to meet a whole heap of new people and really connect with a lot of people around the region.
Yeah, you keep mentioning summer and winter. I'm assuming I know what that means.
Yeah, so obviously athletics, track and field is a summer sport.
Yes.
So we run most of our summer centres, our little athletic centres, from pretty much August, September out to basically March, April.
Yeah.
And we wrap up with our state championships and our national championships. Mm. Our recent national championships was held in Adelaide, which is fantastic for athletics.
Yeah.
And then we sort of wrap up all those centres. But many of our remote and our northern centres, it's too hot to be able to run.
Yeah.
So they run them in the winter. In the winter time.
I get you.
Yeah. Right. So many of their centres start, you know, April, May, and then finish up about August. And we have our little athletics winter carnival actually coming up in Townsville.
Nice.
In 3 weeks, I believe, at the end of June.
Yeah.
So I'll be up there, obviously, promoting the Tiny Tots program.
Lovely.
And hopefully we can get more interest and fascination to be able to get many of our kids signed up to their local little athletic centre.
Yeah. How do you advertise it to the wider community?
A lot of it is pretty much community engagement.
Yes.
So going out to you know, community events and getting out into schools is always really good. Socials is obviously another thing. Mm. Being out on Facebook and Instagram really helps, especially with the demographic that we're trying to look for as well. You know, young kids trying to get into sports and track and field. So, yeah, that's sort of the way that we go about it. And because of my Indigenous heritage and background and stuff, I try to manoeuvre more into, you know, those community groups, but also Indigenous medical centres. yeah. as well. You know, yeah. kids are always looking to get more involved in something, especially if they might not be involved in it at the moment, getting their 715 health checks and stuff and understanding, oh, you could probably get a bit more exercise into you.
Why
not look into some local sports, you know, touch, netball, local little athletic centres. Always a great way.
You know, I'd never heard of them when I was growing up. Obviously, I don't know how long LA Q's been running. I've been around for a while. But, yeah, no, it would be great. It's something I'd love to get my granddaughter into. Actually, because she's doing soccer. She does soccer. At school. And gymnastics as
Beautiful.
Well.
So, I'm a gymnast myself, but that's great.
Hey? Oh, look, she was, I noticed when she was younger, she was very, had that sort of heading in that direction.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yep, she should be doing so. So thank goodness her father got her into it. Yeah, no, so this is what's happening in Townsville. Do you know where it's going to be held?
I believe it's going to be at the main track that's there, Townsville Sports Centre, I believe it's called. I can't remember. I've competed there myself quite a few times with Little Athletics and even with the Athletics North Queensland Championships. That's usually held in September, which is always really exciting. But, yeah, that'll be out for the 27th and 29th of November. So I'll be up there myself sort of, yeah, just promoting the Tiny Tots program and everything Little Athletics, basically.
Okay, yeah. And can I ask, you know, obviously you were talking about the little tiny...
Tiny Tots program.
Tiny Tots.
Yeah.
What is involved with that? With
the, with the so young people? Many of our Little Athletic Centres obviously host the program, which is always really exciting. But this program is specifically for, you know, 3-year-olds to 5-year-olds that want just that involvement in track and field. Yeah. So usually with Little Athletics, we're always putting out, you know, the best runs, the best throws, the best jumps and stuff, where this program is basically just for kids to just get that experience, which is always really exciting. So it's all game-based. Nothing is measured. Nothing is competitive. It's all about participation, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, many of our Little Athletics centres do run the program, and just trying to get more understanding around that as well. Yeah. So if we usually find that it's really, really cool for, you know, the younger siblings that probably aren't old enough yet to get into the under five, under six, where it usually starts with athletics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's actually a good program for all kids to get out and about.
100%.
And actually get out of the house.
Yeah, basically.
Instead of looking at a TV.
Oh, yes.
Or a phone. Yeah, no, with these, obviously I'm just a bit concerned about, you know, with schools that don't run PE programs.
Yeah.
You know, are they actually actively looking to get LAQ or PE teachers in?
Yes, so the school that I had just recently been at, they just hadn't had anyone that was employed as a HPE teacher, unfortunately. They just finished up and they just needed little bit of assistance in being able to give out the sessions for this week.
Yeah.
So I was more than happy to sort of go through, and our development team has been out there this week sort of giving out that those sessions, and it's quite perfect, especially with this term being a lot of the criteria is track and field, because a lot of sports carnivals are coming up now, which is really exciting for us. So, you know, we always love to try and get in at this time, and even term three, to be able to just give that bit of assistance and coaching as well. I was just recently at a school over on the north side, and it was a high school. And to be able to just give out some coaching for that particular school, I was really thrilled to be able to do that, but also have that feedback from the teachers as well, that they've learnt something, whether it be about, you know, block starts or, you know, plyometrics. Not too many people know about what plyometrics is. It's that power and that speed that you need for pretty much anything in track and field, whether it be from the blocks or the jumps or even throws as well. So
what is that?
Plyometrics.
I don't know what it is.
So it's basically the power and the speed that you need. So I do a lot of plyometrics myself, where it actually assists me in coming out of the blocks, basically.
Oh, right.
That power that you need to be able to push out. Yeah. And, you know, whether it be jumps, you need that power to hit the board to jump as far as you can, as high as you can as well. And even many, I guess, throwers would probably use that as well. You need that power to be able to throw a javelin.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's sort of based around everything. Okay. Many sports do have it. Yeah. So, you know, you need the jump and the springiness to be able to catch a ball up in the air and stuff. So, yeah. To be able to get that feedback from teachers to let me know that they've actually learned something is really exciting to me.
I think recently, I don't know, I was on YouTube and I saw an athlete and basically they crouch.
Mm.
I can't remember which athlete it is. They crouch because they found that it brings them out quicker.
Yes.
Rather than doing the normal way of taking off for a run. I don't know which one that one was anyway.
No.
But, yeah, they're very explosive.
Yeah, 100%.
I suppose you got to find your own way, what gives you the most power.
Yes.
Because I sure as hell know my arms aren't good enough to try and hit those balls. So shot put was never my game. So same as yours, and I was track and field. Thank you so much, Larissa.
Mm.
I really enjoyed sitting down and yarning with you. About you and the work you've done in the past with the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health, and your work as a deadly ambassador, a deadly ambassador, the deadly choices. And, you know, as the work that you're currently doing, it's really fantastic for kids to get out and about and start getting a bit more, you know, exercise and socialising with each other. So what's for you past the, you know, you've already spoken about the upcoming one in Townsville.
Mm.
What else with regards to, I'm assuming, I think I mentioned with the NAIDOC one, that's going to, you're wanting to snowball that out.
Yeah.
What else is out? What else is on your horizon at the moment?
Yes, so I've been trying to sort of just develop new ways to just get many of our kids sort of involved in track and field. So just giving out ideas at the moment. So my NAIDOC event that's coming up, that is my most recent.
Yeah.
I've only been a part of it, months now. So
a bit of pressure on you.
Yeah, so hopefully I can start, finding my footing and really start to develop a couple more programs in the future. I'm hoping to possibly get up a program that assists our older kids to really pursue more interest and fascination with, you know, coaching and volunteering and even officiating, because that is a fantastic way to sort of, I guess, outline more work experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking to develop more skills in coaching and possibly getting your level one in coaching and two and so on and so forth.
Where do you get that from?
So many of our centres across Australia actually do give out coaching.
Okay.
So you look out onto Queensland Athletics and they offer those programs to be able to do, myself included. I went through doing my level one, possibly doing my level two this year. I'd love to be able to get that. That is development coaching, which I'm really excited to be a part of. So, yeah, just giving those kids, because if I knew that I could have done that as a kid, I would have done that so much earlier than getting it done at 26, 27, you know? So, you know, it's just having that information to know where to go.
Yeah.
So if I can get kids involved in that whilst they're still a part of school, that'd be really exciting.
Yeah.
And even, like, coming up with a program potentially to assist kids on where to go to next from that stage of, you know, being a high school runner or track and field star to be able to have that transition into an open field.
Yeah.
Because I was very lost going from a junior athlete into an open athlete.
Yeah.
I didn't have much guidance.
Yeah.
So to be that footing for someone, I'd be very excited for. So if I could inspire just one kid from this NAIDOC event, I know that I've done a good job. So, I'm really excited for it.
No, that's pretty good because, that's, I was just thinking that you wouldn't have had any guidance from when you started out. And it's really a good idea. You know, not good idea. It's really great that you're thinking ahead and thinking about these up-and-coming track and field athletes, or, you know, and helping them through to the next stage.
Yeah.
Because it would be a big hurdle, wouldn't it, if you didn't know where you're going?
My goal would be to see quite a few Indigenous athletes leading into this 2032 Brisbane Olympic Games.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be very excited to see a fair few of our kids being representing not only Australia, but, you know, Indigenous Australia as well. That'd be pretty exciting.
No, it would be, actually. And, yeah, that's 2032, 7 years down the track.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of time.
Yes, plenty of time for our kids. Get working.
Yeah, get on that field. No, so how can mob, you know, contact you? Like, say if they wanted you to come out to their schools or whatever, how can they contact you, by email or just on social?
Yeah, so they're more than happy to, you know, hit me up via our email, our website, laq.org.au. So I'm more than happy to assist them in anything and everything. So coming out to their schools and doing a couple of coaching sessions, if they're looking to have the Ultimate Athletics program in their schools as well, we do before or after school, which is always fantastic.
Yep.
And it is a 7-week program.
Yep.
If they're looking just for that community engagement, I'm more than happy just to come out and have a yarn with people as well. I'm always looking to get involved anywhere I can.
Yeah.
And especially pursuing track and field as well is something that I'm really excited to do.
Yeah, so, and obviously on your socials as well, LAQ's got socials, Facebook and...
they've got Facebook, they've got Instagram.
Which one's X? I don't know. One of them. Facebook, Instagram, okay, and they can just check that out.
Yeah,
if they
want
it. Everyone's got a phone.
You'll see my flyer for the NAIDOC event, so make sure you sign up for that as well.
Yeah, we'll be uploading that to, after the show finishes today, to the AAA as well.
Amazing.
Just so that if people can have a look there too. But anyway, I'm just so glad that I got to meet you today. It's been a great yarning with you today.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yeah, no, I would like to, after the debacle this morning, it's great that it happened. But it's all good. No, thank you so much, Dale.
No worries.
Yeah, and thanks for being so forthcoming with everything. All right, you mum, I'm looking at the time, I'm going to have to sign off. I'd like to first off thank our sponsors, the Community Broadcasting Foundation and Brisbane Pride, and also you can listen to us via our website AAA.org.au or Community Radio Plus app. You've been listening to AAA Murray Country.